about this with Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. That's what the message is. Jesus and provision. The way it's going to come now was never ever prepared for this way. Jesus, our provision. Esther chapter 1. I'll read it very fast. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This was Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the citadel, that in the third year of his reign, he made a feast for all his officials and servants. The powers of Persia, Media, the Moguls, and the princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty, for many days, 180 days long. And when this day came completed, the king made a feast, lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Shushan, the citadel, from great to small. In the course of the garden of the chief palace, there were white and blue linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen and purple and silver rods and marble pillars, and the couches were of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise, and white and dark marble, and they served drink in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for so the king had ordered all his officers and household that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to the king Ahasuerus, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine. He commanded the woman, Vista, Abona, Vista, Apata, Zinta, Akata, 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, brought by his eunuch. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men, who understood the time, for this was the king's manner toward all who knew law and justice, those closest to him being Kashina, Shika, Admata, Tashish, Mereth, Masina, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, who have access to the king's presence and who rise highest in the kingdom. What shall we do to Queen Vashti according to law? Because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus brought to her by the eunuchs. And the Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Queen Vashti has not only wronged the king, but all the princes and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the king's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will discharge their husbands in their hands when they report King Ahasuerus' command, commanded Queen Vashti to be brought in before him, but she did not come. Verse 18. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the king's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen. Thus, there will be excessive contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let the royal decree go out from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another, who is better than she. When the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire for his great, all wives will honor their husbands, both small and great, and the reply pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Benjamin. Then he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province in its own script, and to each every people in their own language, that each man should be master in his own house and speak in the language of his own people. Chapter 2. After this thing, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done, and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servant who attended him said, this beautiful young virgin is sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather all people, young brothers to Shushan, the citadel, into the women's quarters, under the custody of Gibeah, the king's eunuch, custodian of the women. And let beauty preparation be given them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This thing pleased the king, and he did so. In Shushan, the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeremiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai had took her as his own daughter. So it was when the king's command and the king were heard, and when many young women were gathered at Shushan to Citadel under the custody of Hegai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace into the care of Hegai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparations to her beside her allowance. Then seven choice maid servants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maid servants to the best place in the house of the women. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. Verse 11. And every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the women's quarter to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. Each young woman's turn came to go into the Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation, according to the regulations for the women, for thus were the women, for thus were the days of their preparation apportioned, 6 months the oil of men, and 6 months the perfume and preparation for beautifying women. Thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the women's quarters to the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of women, to the custody of Shashan, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubine. She would not go in to the king again, unless the king delighted in her, and called for her by name. Now when the time came for Esther, the daughter of Abihu, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go in to the king, she requested nothing but what he had, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women and wives, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to be her husband, into his royal palace, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained greater favor in his sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head, and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his officials and servants, and he proclaimed the holiday in the province of Judah, according to the generosity of a king. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are thousands of things that we can speak about from those two chapters, but the Lord is just laying one thing in my heart. Supposed to be a very short presentation. The Lord is laying one thing in my heart. Remember, I said, talking to Jesus as sufficiency. So we have made a very long story, but basically, I mean, we know some of us are familiar with that story. The king was very rich, his dominion was so large, he was rich in everything. In men, in officials, in material, in everything, in splendor, glory, and everything. And he was showing off the wealth of the kingdom. It was regular in those days for kings to do. And when it was time, he wanted to bring the, you know, like the diamond, the pearl of his glory, of his life, to, you know, show that splendor before the people that he had gathered to honor himself to celebrate. But we see that this woman was so puffed up, her beauty had gone into her head, and she challenged, she even forgot that it was the eunuch that was sent, the official was sent, and she refused to honor her husband, she refused to honor the king, by going to meet the king, to do whatever the kingdom asked her to do. And people who were around pastor, they said, no. This is going to bring rebellion. This is going to cause Wahala. It's going to cause a lot of problems in this territory. Because when the other wife gets to hear that the king's wife snubbed him publicly before all these lords and princes, then, I mean, who are we if the king can be treated this way? So they decided that she was going to be released. And they went about, arranging for how Vashti was going to be replaced. They brought other people who were commensurate, people that could be trained, people that could be nurtured, people that could be polished, people that could be prepared, people that could be mended to suit the desire of the king, to suit the office of the queen, of a king like Ahasuerus. And, the Bible tells us about this lowly girl who was a father and mother, whose uncle, pushed her to go because he believed that she could stand the chance. And she went in there, oblivious of what was going to happen. She just went, she obeyed her uncle, she went in there, and, she was prepared also, like all the other ladies. And they were going in one by one to see the king. Only the king could say who would suit him, who he wanted. That's what the Bible tells us. And it is interesting to note that when he came to the term of Esther, when he came to Hadassah, the Bible says that she did not demand anything, not one thing more than what the eunuch had given her. First and foremost, God has brought her into tender loving care, into favor with this man, the eunuch who was taking care of them. So the eunuch even gave her extra, gave her 12 servants to take care of her, gave her extra stuff. But when he came to stand to one to the king, what was given to her is what she wanted. What was given to her? She did not ask. All the other women were asking for him. In spite of all the things that they asked for, the king did not ask them to come back. But this girl, the Bible tells us, we don't know how many people did that. I doubt, if after her, the king was being present to see anybody else. Because the royal crown was never on her head. So what was given to her is what she took. And she went in, to see the king. And the Bible says that, the king was favored. She was greatly favored. Not just by the people around, but she found favor before the king. And the king decided to set the royal crown upon her head. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, how does this relate to what we just want to talk about in the next 2 minutes? See, Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. That's what the Lord told me. Jesus. Our sufficiency. And we child of God, Jesus is your sufficiency. There's one song that is like to sing in Love Song Church. It's the word of God. It's sufficient unto me. The word of God. It's sufficient unto me. The word of God is sufficient unto me. The word of God is sufficient unto me. Just the one that will tell you, down or in progress, back down from the example of verse. He says that, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld his beauty, full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. The word of God, Jesus is our sufficiency. See, brethren, we are not the first set of people that became Christians. I'm sure you know that. There are people, the Bible tells us of people who are already living in heaven. So I'm just going to, go straight to the point. When I say we, I'm not just referring to this ministry or just a few of us who are here. But any child of God under heaven right now, you are not the best thing. You are not the best thing. I am not the best thing. So if God has given us, there's a woman that was given an opportunity to be shown to the realm of the king, and the king decided in heart. The king wanted to, show her off. Look at my wife from head to toe. Isn't she beautiful? Look, her dressing, her crown, all these, things for her music, embellishing her music. But the music got into the head of this woman, or whatever it was. Maybe I don't know if the king upset her, the Bible didn't say. But she refused to go when the king called her. And she was judged. She was then to even know that the royal princess has spoken out to the king. This woman cannot be the queen of Israel
she must be replaced.
The Lord Jesus Christ was released by the Father to come and die and kill death, to bring in many sons and daughters into the kingdom. And so the Bible says that not many wise men were called, not many glorious men and women were called, but God picked the dread for society, you and I. God picked all that we don't even have anything. The things that be not, so that it will shame the things that are. The things that are not wise, so that it will shame the world in itself. Praise the Lord. So, all there's an expectation. There's an expectation from the king that when he is happy, he has his merit, he can now say, yes, bring this person. Well, bring in it. Bring your life. Bring bread. Bring David. Bring, you know, whatever name. And let me show everything, and let me show. Just like he displayed truth. And many Christians today, many Christians today have smoked the Lord. Many Christians today, maybe because they are now wealthy, God has blessed them, they have slapped back in their love for God. They have slapped back in their hands. They have slapped back in their legs to go, in their hands to give to the work of God. So my eyes totally completed. And we know that all those who are carrying shoulder for the Lord today will not have the opportunity to be called when they leave this world. The Bible says the fortunate man wants to die after that judgment. After that judgment. Because of one thing or the other, the lure to acquire things, the lure to get fame, the lure to get money, the lure to find more people, the lure to live a comfortable life. Many have been wounded and have fallen. The Lord is telling us today, if they are two children of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, then the Messiah is your solution. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't know if it's making sense. I'm just saying it the way the Lord is saying it. Jesus is our solution. In fact, there are different things that God uses to speak to me about, particularly women. I don't want to go there completely. But when it came to the time that Esther was presented before the king, the Bible says it's what was given to her. It's what was given to her that she took to the king. What does that say to you and I? God is not interested in all the embellishment that we are achieving now. God is not interested in all our degrees. God is not interested in our wealth, our physical, material possessions. It is that thing that he gave us that he is interested in. The spirit that he gave us, the Holy Spirit that he gave us, the salvation that he gave us, the blood that was shed to be able to get us out from under the slavery to Satan, to destroy the power of sin in the life of the true believer. God is jealous of that. God is jealous of the gift that he has given to us. Many of us have our gifts have been dead. We used to hear God, we're not hearing again. We used to prophesy, we are not here to prophesy again. We used to go and evangelize, we would be fired, not there again. We used to read the Bible, we be before we know it, we don't talk chapter, we are there, not even reading again. We're not praying, we're not fasting, we're not doing any of those things again. What are we doing? God give me this. God give me that. Oh Lord, I have this need. Oh Lord, heal me. Oh Lord, give me, give me, give me. Take me there, bring me here, take me to where there, bring that from here. It's all about us. We have forgotten that we were brought out of darkness to show what the praises of Him who did that work in our life. And the world is getting increasingly dark, very, very dark, very, very dark, very, very dark. I remember when these people were making noise again, and one of them was wondering, what's going on? There is no fear of God. No child was struggling at the back there to sing and praise God and have the sense that it was in our power. The world is dark. I went out and tried to tell them that you need to keep it dark. And I was ashamed to see the way young girls were dressed. What that bone shot they were wearing. What that bone shot that they were wearing. Touching those stripping boys and, you know, just messing around. Drinking or Google and all those things that they put in the past. Reverend, we have been called. We have been called by the King so that He can show us what? So that He can display us. The Lord Jesus, called us, saved us. The Bible says that the Father released him so that through him, many sons and daughters can be brought into the kingdom. But how many people are heeding his call? How many of us are heeding his call? How many of us are heeding the call? How many of us are, you know, just take a look at the last 1 week. Can you count two things that he did that was for the kingdom? That was for the kingdom. I remember recently, you know, I've been working in a lot of, you know, all these pastors, big pastors, and the things they're writing and stuff like that. And one day I was just marching to the kitchen, and the Lord spoke to my right ear. He said, "And what is wrong with you taking a whole day to fast and pray for these people, for these big pastors that you have spent the whole day researching about them on the internet? What is wrong with you taking a day to fast and pray for them that they will be restored?" Because many people did not start that way. It was when the blessings of this world, when the beauty and the glory of this world, when the wealth of this world, when the comfort of this world became, you know, when God blessed them and blessed their ministry, that their heart became enlarged, that they began to shun the living God. Vashti was his grave. Vashti was deposed. Vashti was taken out. May God will replace you and I in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever it is, that the Lord brought you, I pray that prayer this morning. My mother was not at home, so I could shout and tell God anything. I said, "Lord, before my mother and my mother met, whatever it is that you pen down in your book, that grace is going to do this for us. Grace, because I said, I will do it before I shut my eyes from this world. Whether the devil I say or not. Because that's what God is going to bring our judgment on. I sent you into the world to touch so that your life. Did you do it? I said, I asked you to talk to that person. Did you do it? I gave you some so give to do this. Did you do it? I was listening to some black musicians who started with the gospel. There's one particular woman, she was an institution, Aretha Franklin. She's dead now. Her voice, it's like, anytime I hear her voice, it reminds me of what the Lord said about Lucifer. That instruments of music were built into him as he's walking. Different instruments and speaking. And he became arrogant and proud and wanted to take the glory of God. When this woman opens her voice, when she opens her mouth to sing, you can hear 20-something. I don't know, maybe God was just opening my ears to hear. She was an enigma, and she started in the church. And I was wondering, I said, "Oh, look at all these people. Oprah Winfrey, who got many of them, all of them, like that, together." And she was giving them the weekend. And then she said, "Let them sing. This one will sing. John Warwick will sing. Give to Dixie White, and the Dixie White will sing. Give to, I forgot the name of those things, those big gospel names." The place exploded. The white people were turning pink because somehow the awe, there was an awe, a presence, and all of them knew they had never felt anything like that before. And I was thinking, so all these people now, who is going to tell them to return back to the church? I hope you know that we believe this more than still alive. But the daughter is dead because of drugs. The granddaughter is dead because of drugs. But the mother is still thinking for Christ in the church. There's a cross responsibility on us to make sure that we are following the Lord. There are all those things that are taking us here and there, diverting our attention away from God. Because the flesh tells us, oh, you need it. Of course, you need it. But we are told in Matthew chapter 6 that our Heavenly Father knows that we have need of this. You know that we have need of this. But why is it that even when the Lord is telling us, wait, we have to understand? Why is it that the Bible says, after having done all, stand? Take that Galatians 2:5, verse 4. So after you have done all, you have fasted, you have prayed, you have served the Lord, you have read everything that you're supposed to do. After you have done all, make sure that you are standing. Make sure you are standing. Make your words are not standing. Make your words are not standing. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm also, I'm right in that message. But Even in the number of children that you have believed that you have, I'm not interested in all those acquisitions, all those things. Then begin your thoughts. What God is interested in when He calls for us is to see how we are radiating the beauty of Jesus. That's what God wants. Are you radiating the beauty of Jesus in your life? Am I radiating the beauty of Jesus in my life? Am I useful to the kingdom of God? This thing I would be responsible for this thing. As we just said, not everybody who is going to church, not everybody, but then the people that are following after the word of God, those who are following after the word of God, Jesus spoke to the Jews that believe in Him, that if those who are in disciples are the ones who are doing the will of the Father. It's not the will of the Father, it's not how many crusades do you attend, how many pastors are you friends with, how many churches are you going to. The will of the Father is for you to do the work that He has called you to do, to get, make sure that your garment is glistening in holiness and beauty, the beauty of the Lord. So that any time He sends for you, you will not need any other thing than that which He has already put inside you. No, recently I was just saying to the pastor that I can now see that it doesn't matter where any Christian is. When the rapture comes, you cannot cheat. I said that God just gave me that truth that I'm stuck into my heart. That no one can cheat on the day of rapture. You know why? Because Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, anyone that does not have the Spirit of God is not all his. So you cannot jump over and say, okay, I'm going to go to rapture. What is actually going to rapture you on earth? Is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what is going to lift you up. Is the Spirit of God in you. Because the Holy Spirit will be going home to heaven. And he's going home. Wherever his house has been, he takes that house along with him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you obedient to God? Are you listening to Him? Are you walking with Him? Those are the things. Those are the questions that you need to ask yourself. That I need to ask. Is Jesus Christ your sufficient? Are you sufficient? When you're looking for counsel for your business, when you're looking for counsel to build your career, when you're looking for counsel to know which sister or which brother to marry, when you are looking for comfort, the Bible talks about the comfort of the Spirit. Where do you go? Do you find them in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you find comfort in the Word of God? Do you find comfort if you agree with God concerning whatever situation you find yourself in? Concerning what the Word of God says about you or the child of God? Is Jesus Christ your sufficiency? Or are you in your command? Is Jesus Christ your sufficiency? Or do you have any alternative? Is Jesus Christ your sufficiency? You know, sometimes people come for counseling. You counsel them, you pray with them, and you can't see them, fight inside. Why? The word of God is not sufficient. Praise the Lord. I'm not just talking about other people, it happens to me too. I said, like you say, if any are being tempted, let me pray. I said, I'm praying now, this thing is not going. What am I doing? The word of God is not sufficient. No, something will happen. I want something to happen. I want it to be this way. But I tell you, only as we follow Him, only as we deal with Him. Anyone who is going to make it to heaven, to see the face of the Lord in the end, your sufficiency must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your A to C, your north to south, east to west, must be in the Word of God. Anything apart from the Word of God that you are living by, that is not the will of God. And sufficiency should be in the Lord. Even for the work of ministry, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 5 and 6, says, but our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God who has made us able ministers of a new covenant. And you can't argue with that, because there is a hope that He wants you to tell the prophets and prophets. And you shall see power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will begin that way to me. Praise the Lord. Brethren, our enemy, the bottom line is, in this race, this wilderness of life, from start to finish,
and sufficiency to be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Our sufficiency should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean that because you're a child of God, so you will not aspire to do things? You will not aspire to go to school, look for a good job, and do? No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying even in the school, you say, Lord, what course should I be? When you finish, Lord, let me be posted for you serving in the place that you have designed for me. When you finish, no, I'm going to the market, I'm going to the job market. No, lead me to the place, to the job that you have prepared for me. Why? Because everything that is connected with you, as long as you're a child of God, has to do with the will of God. Your job has to do with the will of God. The man or the woman you marry has to do with the will of God. Where you live has to do with the will of God. Everything has to do with the will of God. Praise the Lord. That is why you have two jobs. You still have to go and pray. And ask God, each of these jobs. And if not, there's none of them, oh, God have mercy. Because that will be a real life. You have to now ask Him to lead you to the one that He wants you to do. Our will must be submitted to Him. Vashti was proud. Vashti was arrogant. Vashti, I mean, they can't even allow her to have her own party for the women. She did not know her place. All those things got into my head. When the king sent for her, she refused to go. She refused to honor. May Jesus, may the Lord and the Holy Spirit, may the Lord God, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit be honored in your life and mine forever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Which means, whenever He calls us, we will answer. That's why Jesus must be the honor. Must be your Lord, must be your Lord. Jesus must be your Lord in my life every. Hallelujah. Jesus must be your Lord.
Jesus must be your Lord. Must be your Lord. Must be your Lord. Jesus must be your Lord. In my life every day. Hallelujah. Jesus must be your Lord.
To carry out that work. So for what God has asked us to do certain things, we hate those things. That's the truth. The flesh hates those things. We don't want to do it. It's not exciting to us. It's boring. It's drudgery. Doesn't even pay us. Doesn't even give us money to even buy soul and take a bath. And yet God wants us to do it. We don't know why He wants us to do it. But it's crucial for the functioning of the kingdom. It's crucial in the kingdom of God that He wants us to do it. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Jonah ran away. Instead of going to Nineveh, he ran to Tarshish. Bible says to the prophet, God chose himself more prophet. What happened? I think that the fish following him was the mercy of God. Give him a second chance. Many of us need a 20th chance. The umpteenth time chance. Many times, many times, many times, over and over and over and over and over. We have failed the Lord. He will not even show anything to us because we will be offered His grace. That is all we got. Don't bring her. Don't bring her. No. If she does this little something like this, just is gone. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Jesus must be our love. Must be our love.
Challenges of life that God wants you to master to strengthen me in the faith. Lord, heading on the shop. Let me go through it as it's expected of me. Praise you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You can read verse 13. It says, Then thus came every maid unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shashgaz, whatever. The king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. The women went in as maidens, they came out as concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. We are going to pray some prayers, but I want to point out something here. It might have been exciting to these girls to be with the king just for one night, but I don't think it was exciting to them after that one night when they were passed aside and called concubines. The Bible says, now when the son of Esther, the daughter of Abihai, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what the guy, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus, into his house, where in the 10th month, which is the month Tebet, in the 7th year of his king of the reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, like I said earlier, all those other virgins went in to meet with the king for one night. By the next day, they were concubines. Esther went in to meet with the king for one night. She did not become a concubine, she became a queen. There is something about Esther that we have to learn. What was the difference between Esther, who became queen, and these girls, who became concubines? The girls chose for themselves the things they wanted to take to the king. In Esther's case, it was given to her. Brethren, whatever it is that the Spirit of God gives to you is far greater than what any man can give, far greater than whatever you can ask for. So we want to pray, because we are read that Jesus has sufficiency. Whatever Jesus gives to us is enough.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We are going to sing a chorus, and then I'll tell you what we are going to pray for. Is enough for me? Is enough? The man of Calvary is enough. It's enough for me, it's enough. The man of Calvary is enough for me, it's enough for me, it's enough. The man of India is enough for me, it's enough for me, it's enough. The man of Calvary is enough for me, it's enough. It means Jesus is not your sufficiency. When the Lord gives you His word, and you say, but I need something else, it means He is not your sufficiency. Deborah told Barak, Zebarak, he said, go, God will give you this. Barak said, no, unless you go with me, the victory will not be given to you to be given to somebody else. In fact, a woman will be that's what happened. Brethren, for Esther, whatever they give her was sufficient. I want you to understand one thing. The Holy Spirit knows how you need, how to want to worship God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, I think 26 and 27, it says we do not know how we should pray to God. It says that the Spirit of God, you know, who makes intercessions for us? He gives us, he makes intercessions with words that we cannot even begin to utter. Some of us cannot pray except we are saying the words. We cannot pray in tongues. We cannot pray as the Spirit of God gives us counsel. Sometimes we want to pray for John, those who say, I want you to pray for A, B, C. We want to pray for our needs, those who say, I want you to intercede for this person. And we will not accept it. That is the insufficiency of Christ in our lives. Because we are refusing to accept His instruction as more than sufficient for us. So you are going to pray. Say, Father,
help me.
That everything you give to me,
everything you give
is all that I will need.
Don't
let me stretch my neck.
So
we ask me for things that you are not asking to ask. She went in the virgin. She came out the queen. The others stretched their neck and began to ask for their own thing, and selfishly, according to their flesh, they went in as virgins and came out as concubines. I want you to pray. Pray. That the Lord will see you as one in His kingdom. One will be a priest in His kingdom of priests. You will not be someone that they will say, he used to worship God. But you no longer worship God. Because of the things you are asking for that are contrary to what God has for you. we're hearing the God of Pastor so and so, Pastor so. What happened to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's not sufficient for us. We will not add the reference. Except that the fool and deny him. And say, who is the Lord? Who is he? Many of us are doing that now. The minute you begin to preach outside or beyond the word of God, you are saying, who is the Lord? The minute you begin to bring in things that are unscriptural into worship, you are saying, who is the Lord? We have been having jamborees in the past how many weeks now? How many weeks now? Very little to do with this seeking of God, but very much to do with public, what do you call it, acclaim. We are saying, who is the Lord? Because we are now. This man says, no. Don't get me to that place where I am so satisfied that I will ask, who is the Lord? Keep me hungry to seek. Give me that hunger to seek. The Bible says, they that go first and hunger after righteousness, they shall be filled. And then he goes and says, or let I fall and steal and take the name of my God in vain. In each of the two cases that he said, don't let me go, you can see that clearly his interest is God, not even himself. He put God first, not himself. He said, I don't want to bring shame to your name, God. And I don't want to say you are nothing. We're going to pray now. We're going to say, Father, let me be content with everything you give to me. Let me find contentment in your word. Let me find contentment where you have placed me. Let me not look beyond where you have placed me. Let my desire not overshadow your desire for me. We need, Father, the help of us to be content. To be content with where you have blessed us. To be content with what you have given to us. Let us not stretch our necks beyond where you have blessed us. Help us, my dear mother, to remain where you have for us. To stay where you have for us. Let my desire not to shadow your desire for me. Let me not desire beyond that which you desire for me, Almighty God. And I say, God, remove her from me, Lord. Vanity and that. Don't give me poverty. Don't give me wealth. Just give me what I need. Keep me hungry enough for you, Lord. Let my hunger for you remain. Let nothing remove my hunger for you, Almighty God. And I say, God, let nothing ever remove my hunger for you, Lord. Mahatalika Rosso Kunduri, Rekata Rekamasakayari, Rosso Kotolika Makuturi, Brakatalika Makandayari, Rosso Kotolini, Bakandalika Rasakandayari, Rokotolini Makakayari, Brakatalika Makuturi, Rosso Kotolini Makakayari, Masokotolika Rokotolini, Rekata Rekamasakayari. In Jesus' name we are praying.